The fact we went from a fun day into a week of stuff meant there was just momentum and platform for connecting some dots, building some relationships. Now, you know, we're in the summer period now. People are away and we'll have to see what happens with our mums and toddler group and the various things that we were touching base with. And there was lots we could do better in terms of getting people's details and I don't know, but it felt like a very positive week in terms of our presence in the community.
Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. Thanks very much for joining us, whether you're listening in or whether you're watching. My name's Adrian Reynolds. I'm the head of National Ministries. And we're on the road this week. We're in Norwich. Fine city.
It's a fine city.
In fact, that is its name. And you come in Norwich, a fine city.
It is.
Which I think is just a fine city. It doesn't feel very ambitious.
No. But
it's all right. As places go. Yeah. It's a lovely place. I've not really been here before. Enjoyed walking around with you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy Rees, pastor of Surrey Chapel at the moment, but about to become City Gates Church.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for joining us. And we're here a little bit to talk about a Pray for 100 project. So this is something that we're doing to celebrate the centenary of FIEC. We thought, how do we mark that? We could be all nostalgic and say, these are all the things we've been doing for the last 100 years. And that would be some merit in that, of course. But we thought actually it'd be better to hear about things that churches were doing now to further the mission of Christ.
Mm.
So we asked churches to submit projects that they would like the whole network to pray for. We hoped we might get to 100, so we could have 100 projects and put them in a prayer guide. We actually had something like 170, 180 projects come in. And Surrey Chapel submitted a project, which I'm afraid got rejected.
I can't believe you rejected us.
And I'll tell you why, because we're publishing it in November. Mm. And so we wrote in the instructions, hoping that people would read them. Don't forget that it's being published in November. Mm. And some churches submitted things that were happening in the summer, by which time they'll be kind of have happened and gone. Mm. And Surrey Chapels was one of those.
Yes.
So it's not going in the prayer guide, although it will be online. We're putting everything online. Yeah. So people will be able to find out a bit more about it. But it was such an exciting venture. I thought, I want to hear a bit more about it.
Right.
So tell us about what you were hoping we were going to pray for.
Yeah.
And we can be rejoicing actually in what happened.
Yeah.
So we're at the end of the summer, aren't we now? We're recording this in August.
Yeah.
So it was in July, right?
Yeah, it was at the first week of the school holidays. And back in January, we decided to go for it, plan for this. So we organised...
When it was cold and snowing and all those kinds of things.
Absolutely. Yes.
The winter winds coming off the fens. Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. And crazily, we thought, let's try something big in the summer. So we organised something called Summerfest, where we decided to go to a park, which is in our kind of... our parish. I mean, it's not our parish, but we are in NR3. So we're on the edge of this area of about 15,000 houses.
So on a clock face, I mean, Norwich has got a ring road, which is kind of almost circular.
Yeah.
So clock face, where are you on the clock
face?
So
we're talking, the church.
It's the ring road, you just heard that motorbike go past. That is a ring road.
Yes, that is. So we're quite central in that. But then I think we're talking between 12 and about 10 on the clock face.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're aiming into. And there's a park called Waterloo Park, which is a 10-minute walk from our building. And in that park, in the summer, is tons of families. It's kind of quite a mixed catchment kind of area. So there's a whole bunch of families who can't afford to go away, and they go there because there is a splash pad, and it's a brilliant park.
Just tell me what a splash pad is.
Oh, man.
It sounds like a pool without any depth.
That is.
Basically, that's what you're telling me.
It's a place you can take your kids and they'll get soaked. And often you've forgotten to take a towel.
Okay.
And it's a nightmare to get them home. Squirting water
all
over.
I love it already.
Yeah. So there's a splash pad, a great park. But it's a big old park and it's a real hub for the community. My kids go to the primary school just next to it. And really, I mean, if we're going to reach local people, that is kind of, as a church, where we need to be looking.
Sure.
So we thought, well, rather than do like a holiday club in our building, let's do something there that is visual, that is present, that people can see, that enables us to engage with a whole bunch of folk who don't even know we exist.
So what did you do?
Right. Too much. We did too. No, we didn't.
Well, in terms of you tried to be too ambitious or well, just
no.
Tell us what you did, first of all.
Well, I'll tell you what we did. So we had a big marquee. which cost a couple of grand to put up.
Did you have to get permission, by the way? For
yes, so we did. Council were involved. There was hurdles. Okay. There was a lot of organisation. Council had to sign it off. And I mean, they're in charge of the park.
Presumably they're up for stuff like this.
Yeah,
they
are. Yeah, they are. But you have to be organised.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, the conversation started with them back in January. So there was a marquee, but then actually with the marquee, if you're going to have a marquee that's going to be there all week. So we were with the marquee all week. It needed overnight security. So we had to get overnight security.
Did you do any shifts?
No. In fact, one of our deacons said, we're going to have pay for someone to come and do this. So we actually, that came with costs. So we had overnight security. We had metal fencing around the outside, which we had to build every night.
It's a proper thing then. It's not like your little gazebo that you buy from Argos with a go-pack table underneath it.
That's it. So you could fit about 150, 200 people in this.
Okay.
In this market. So and that added to it. It was a big presence that
did you take? I can already hear in my ear our communications guy saying, "Did you take any photos?"
All right. Yes, we have.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got.
Send us some photos, and we'll put them on put them on the link on the podcast. But yeah, carry on. So you had the marquee,
big old marquee. Okay.
But that, and metal fencing.
And metal fencing. But actually, it's interesting because that just gave us a presence. It meant we were there.
It looks professional, doesn't it?
Yes.
It looks like it is a thing.
Well, it is, and it's interesting. That brought us capital with the council. So when the council came, you know, they signed it all off. When the council came and saw what we'd done, actually, it made them go, "Oh, phew! Actually, this is okay." And actually, I think they trust us to do something like this again because we did it well.
Yeah.
So obviously,
and actually, you've got you've got other things going on with the council in terms of development.
Right. Yes.
So that's just all capital, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's relational capital, and that's really important. So we had on the Saturday, we had a fun day. So we had inflatables in the park and face painting, and we had a whole bunch of stalls saying what we do as a church, our Surrey Stitchers and our cap. And so we were just, that was sort of for connecting with people. On the Sunday afternoon, we had an outdoor service. Then Monday through Thursday.
Did the council know you were doing that?
Yes.
And they were okay with that?
Yeah. Yeah. They were okay with that. Monday through Thursday, we had a whole day kind of kids club in the morning, whole day Bible club in the morning. In the afternoon, we had language classes for people whose English is their second language. We had a friendship cafe. And in the evening, which was this was the quite radical thing, we had dance in the park.
Okay. So let me just catch my breath. Dance in the park.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I mean, to be fair, our evangelism team, they came up with these ideas. I was there thinking,
you weren't driving this yourself.
I was not driving that bit.
Are you a good dancer?
Oh, well, I tell you what, I think people.
What would Grace say if I asked that question? Yeah, he's a smooth mover.
She was like, you need more practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So dance in the park. Tell me what that was then.
So each evening we had, one night we had salsa dance. Someone in the church, someone in the church's husband does salsa lessons, and he did some salsa moves with us.
So I thought that was a sauce.
Yeah, well,
I have it with my nachos. It's a dance.
It is a dance, and actually, it is for the specially initiated. But actually, it was great. So he did some coaching on that. The second night, we had some line dancing.
Yeah, now that's more my kind of thing.
Had a team over from Mississippi who came to help us with the week. I mean, that's another.
Were
part
they coming
of this.
Anyway, or
They wanted to come and help us do some stuff. And they said, well, we said, come and help this week. So they did a line dancing night. And then there's a barn dancing night. And the thing that was, oh man.
I'm sorry, I'm struggling to get beyond the line dancing.
Yes.
That sounds like my ideal date night.
Really?
Yeah, well, I think so. Because that would keep Mrs. Reynolds happy. Yeah, I think so.
But I mean, the thing we couldn't believe about it. So the fun day, God was very kind. Because on the fun day, we made a splash with an awful lot of people. Now we flyed all the homes locally. We got flyers into the local schools. But just our presence in the park in the week built momentum. But our line dancing night, I mean, I honestly thought dance, this is never going to work. But I mean, I know it's not about numbers, but it's like about 60 people came to the salsa night. But a third of them were nothing to do with the church. And then to line dance, we had 120 people. And again, I'd say a third of them were people we'd never met
it's
before.
It's quite inoffensive line dancing, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It is inoffensive. But
good,
and there was
good like, Christian dancing, I think.
Well, it is. It really is. And interestingly, I think I wouldn't do a Kaylee again because it's a little bit too much physical contact. I think I wouldn't do that one again. There was about 60 people there. But it just connected us with a whole bunch of people we'd never met before. who'd picked up flies, who'd got connected through the week. There was momentum. And, you know, and from that, I mean, at each of the evenings, we said something about us and the church can find out about Jesus. In our publicity, we hadn't said there's going to be a gospel talk. And so we didn't want to do a bait and switch. Yeah. And, okay, we've got you guys in for a salsa lesson. Now we're going to hit you hard. It was gentle. It was connection. It was about us being known and trusted. But initially, people took literature,
So I was going to say, can you see evangelistic fruit from that? Because people might say, well, that's all very well.
Yeah.
You know, we could put something on and people would come. But actually, trying to make the shift from putting on a social event, essentially, to having some gospel intentionality.
Yeah.
How do you make that shift? So what kinds of things were you doing and how did that go? So no full, you know, you're not doing a tent mission.
No.
And that's appropriate because you're inviting people to kind of a social thing, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. But actually the kids club, we were sowing a lot of seeds.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was...
And do you think having the kids club there rather than here is significant?
It was significant because it just connects with families that we never would have met.
Where they are.
Yeah. Because all these families are there. They're desperate for something to do. It's the first week of the holidays. And... in terms of how do you go... there was gospel intentionality there. And there was also gospel intentionality which lay behind the whole thing, because we want people to know this is a place they can be... that we are known. It's a place they can trust. It's a place they can send their kids. It's a place where there's loads of stuff going on where they can hear about Jesus. But also, there's lots of stuff going on where we can build long-term friendships to share the gospel. And it was really interesting. I think probably the most open people we met, which we never would have met if we'd stayed in the building... There's a lot of Eastern Europeans who were there saying, we're from an Orthodox background. We want our kids to hear about Jesus. When do your kids' club start? You know, so it's some of those steps. And I think the fact we went from a fun day into a week of stuff meant there was just momentum and platform for connect some dots, building some relationships. Now, you know, we're in the summer period now. People are away and we'll have to see what happens with our mums and toddler group and the various things that we were touching base with. And there was lots we could do better in terms of getting people's details and I don't know. But it felt like a very positive week in terms of our presence in the community.
I feel a bit now like one of the people on Channel 4 doing a property programme.
Yes.
What was your budget? How much? What did it cost you? Do you mind me asking? What did it cost you, do you think, overall?
Well, look, the practical, so for the big, for the tent, for the fencing, for the loos, we had to get some port-a-loos.
Sure. Yeah.
So for that stuff, we were talking about $4,000.
Okay.
Okay, and then on top of that, you're talking about resources for Kids Club and all of that. So if you like, for us to be there and to have overnight security was about $4,000.
Okay.
But you know.
But hundreds of connections.
Oh, man. Yeah. And also you just think, it was the thing that was exciting about the fun day, there were parents who had come to the Smarties group here, who we'd lost contact with, who had a positive association with us, who then were like, oh no, I want to send my kid along to the Holiday Bible Club. And so it was another step. And at the end of the Holiday Bible Club, we had like a lunch. And we were thinking, oh, what a headache. It was like one of our staff was like going, Reese, why did you say we're going to have a lunch at the end of it? Like, what are you thinking? We're camping in a park. There's no kitchen. What are we going to do? But anyway, we got through that. We made sandwiches. But it was amazing. The families who'd picked up their kids, not everyone stayed, but then they came, they had lunch. And it meant we got to have brilliant conversations with these parents whose kids have been coming along all week.
Tell me a little bit more about the church. How did the church feel about it before?
Right.
You know, how did you persuade the church and how did people react and when they sort of knew what was being planned? How do they feel about it now?
Right. Yeah. So I think, so there was, interesting, some of the newer people in the church were excited and wanted to become part and serve it. Some of the saints who've been in the church for quite a long time were a bit like, what are you doing? So much work. You know, is it worth spending this money?
And it was a lot of work, right? They were right about that.
It was a lot of heavy lifting. And particularly, we've never done it before. So it was a lot of first time learning as well. So they were right in that. But I think it was a really sweet moment where one lady came to me at the fun day and she said to me, Andy, When you said you were going to do this, I thought, this is too much. It is stupid. Why are we doing that? And now I'm here. I cannot believe the people we're connecting with. And that's right. She was, you know, she's looking around and people were just like, wow, look at all these people. And we've never met them before. And we want to introduce them to Jesus. And this is the start of that.
So you started planning in January.
Yeah.
Was that enough time?
No.
Should have started earlier?
Yes. Yeah.
So we just need a time when we put this podcast out.
Yeah, you do.
Would you do it again, by the way?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you planning to do it again?
So lots of my staff are on holiday at the moment, but when we get back, we're going to make the fun. But actually, I just think...
Doesn't it sound like it's going to be a hard sell?
No. And I think it's one of those things where there is momentum. I think you need to do it for a number of years and commit to it, because actually, you know, there are people saying, please do this next year. So it's just, I think it's the start of something. Now, look, God was very kind. The weather was awesome. And that would have put a damper on
it. Yeah, it rained.
I know.
That would have been a different thing.
I know. And that is part of the risk. But being in the big tent, the kids club would have carried on, you know, but I think we probably wouldn't have had quite as many people turn up. Mm. There's another thing on our fun day, in God's kindness, there was a big science festival that was organized in the park on the same day as our fun day. Now that was organized after we had booked it. And that brought a lot of people to the park. And so which meant that they then came to us and said, wow, what you're doing is far more fun than what they're doing. And that also brought, amazingly, the BBC to the park.
Yeah, so you were telling me this earlier.
Yes.
Now this is a nice tie-in with a previous episode of Independence, available on all good podcast platforms. Right. We did a podcast, we put the link in, about making the most of local media.
Right.
And you'd heard that. Now, there was some connection there with local media. Right. So tell us the story.
Yeah. So there was this big science festival. And when I rocked up to help at the fun day, I saw there were two guys who had BBC T-shirts on. They had their kind of, they weren't doing filming, they were doing stuff for radio. And I just thought, right, I thought of the FYC podcast. I thought, I'm going to chance this. So I went over and had a chat with them and said, oh, we're doing this Summerfest and it's going to be here all week. And one of them wasn't interested at all. But the other one, who clearly had some sort of Christian background, he said, I'll come and interview you. You know, and actually he got in touch with his Sunday show. He said, no, we'll get you a piece for tomorrow morning. So he came over and we had a 4-minute interview. And I was able to say an awful lot about the church and an awful lot about what we were doing in that week. And it went live the next morning. And interestingly, it went out. It was pre-recorded, but it went out the next morning. And he emailed me to say, look, that interview went really well. Please get in touch if you've got anything else going on. So they're clearly desperate for local news.
So on that podcast, one of the things that we reflected on with Phil, who used to work in the media, our executive director, was that actually local news stations, newspapers, they are desperate for local news.
Right.
And so actually there's a real opportunity for churches there. And they're just providentially, you broke to make that connection.
It is. So I've got a positive connection with him. And actually when we change the name officially, we will be getting tough to him. And there's lots of other stuff now. We've got some angles in that we will do. And they wanted that. But amazing, God's providence, on the Wednesday of the Holiday Club, that Radio Norfolk was back in Waterloo Park. It was Norfolk Day, which obviously everyone celebrates.
Well, Norfolk Day, presumably a fine county.
It is.
With a fine city.
Absolutely. That is it. And they were there and I thought, well, they're going to chance it again. So I said...
Sorry, I just need to ask, what do they do in the park on Norfolk Day?
Genuinely, they were doing very little. They were watching some dog walkers go around. That was what they were doing. I mean, it really was. There was not a lot going on in the park. Apart from us with our massive marquee.
Yeah, you were the heart of Norfolk.
We were. On that day, we were the beating heart. So I said, come on, go on over, see if you can have a chat with them. And one of my staff members and one of the American team went over there. And they were saying, oh, we're all excited because the Lionesses, it was in the European Championship.
They got through
the semi-finals last night and we're really excited about the football. And our American friend said, hey, that's great. I heard Scotland did really well. So we were like, no, it was England. But anyway, we got on the local radio that morning as well. And amazingly, off the back of that, two families who lived in the community, we said, oh, we've got this holiday club, you can come along. They turned up 5 minutes later. So they'd been listening on the radio and they came in.
Straight away.
Amazing. So, I mean, we just, you know, God was very kind in terms of opportunity and place. But it was thinking...
Do you do a holiday club every year?
We haven't done, obviously, with the pandemic, we haven't done of one course, yeah. for a few yeah. years. But it would have been part of the diary, but it hasn't been part of the diary for a few years.
Did this one feel different, do you think, because of both where it is and the connections you had?
Yes. Yeah, it did.
In a positive way.
Yeah, it felt like we weren't just serving Christian kids from other churches.
Yes.
So often holiday clubs tend
it's
to draw
childcare room. For Christians.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They look out for where are the kids, well, we're going to send our kids to that.
Yeah.
So because we were actually connected with people who had no idea who we were and wanted, you know, but were happy to send their kids along because they made these connections. Yeah. So I
guess some people watching or listening will be thinking, you know, this is big ticket item.
Right.
Lots of work, lots of money.
Yeah.
I can see there's lots of fruit for it. It just feels like there's a level of ambition there that we don't really have. Mm. Couldn't really stir up that interest. What did you do in the church just to try and get people behind it, to try and help people to see the vision, the gospel vision behind it? Was that an easy thing to do, or did you have to work hard at that?
Well, you know, as with these things, you've just got to be ready that not all the church is going to go with you, and that's okay. But there will be some people in the church who will see the potential and go, oh, let's have a go at that. So I think for us, one of the other things we tried to do, this was much smaller. This was in Easter, and I can't remember if it was 2020 or 2021. It's all blurred into
those
one.
Those years blur together.
Yeah, they blurred together. Yeah. But in that same park, we ran an Easter egg trail.
Right.
Okay, and that was not a lot of effort. We advertised it really badly, but on that day, I mean, I think that because of COVID, there was not much going on at all. But at the end of it, people, you know, they did a little thing and they watched some videos and they met some people around and they got an Easter egg at the end. They got a leaflet. But we ran out of Easter eggs for that. We met 80 families and we reckon 60, 70 of those families we'd never met before. So if you like, that was a couple of years ago, and that gave the church a taste in a quite a cheap way that there is more we can do. There's some more we can do outside the building that connects us with our locality. So if you like, that was one of the, you know, being able to say, look.
So you'd already got outside the building. That kind of hurdle had been overcome.
Yes.
Because I think we don't have a building, and we're often thinking to ourselves how lovely it would be to have a building.
Right.
But actually, buildings are great basis for stuff. They can be barriers as well, right?
Right.
In a sense. Right. Especially if we feel that we've got a building, we've got to use it.
Yes.
I think you're demonstrating there, even with the Easter egg hunt, which is kind of a low entry sort of, kind of thing, that there's great value in getting outside of the building in some way.
Right, it is. And particularly if you are like our church, where we are not very visible, even though we're, you know, so you just have to let people know that we are here. Because there are people in this community, some who are saying, I want to know about Jesus. Where can I hear about him?
Yeah, yeah. And tell us a little bit more about the holiday club element. So lots of churches will run holiday clubs.
Yeah.
What kind of format does yours take?
So, I mean, they'd worked really hard on all the child protection issues because we were in a park and we were just aware that there might be parents dropping off their kids who we'd never met before.
So you've got to think carefully about that stuff.
All that stuff. And they'd worked really, really hard on that, making sure every member of the team was DBS'd. All of that stuff is really, really important for our integrity in the long term, and also parents knowing they can trust us with their kids. But we used some material from Faith in Kids.
So just off the shelf.
Yeah. So we didn't write stuff ourselves. We used some material by Faith in Kids that was really strong. And, you know, obviously that was some of the upfront stuff. Someone gave, you know, some antics with a guy called Bill and Ted, and there was stuff driven from the front.
Bill and Ted, that sounds like it appeals to adults of a certain age.
Well, it does, which is why I felt I became my inner Ted.
You were air guitaring.
It was all of that. And, you know, splats and gunge and all of that. But then there was stuff in small groups, and there was activities in small groups and games. And I think it was a fairly standard holiday club. We didn't break the bank with that, but this off-the-shelf material was really helpful.
Yeah. And how many people do you have working in the holiday club?
Wow. So we had a lot of volunteers, actually, but they were managing lots of different aspects of it. And being in the park, it really mattered that we had a good number of leaders.
You can't do that on the cheap, really.
No, you can't. So there would have been about 30 of us.
Okay.
Probably 30, 35 of us. And you're talking, and, you know, there would have been about 80, 90 kids.
Okay. That's a nice proportion, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as you say, lots of those didn't have any contact with the church
Yes.
beforehand, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
And what next? for stuff outside the building.
Hmm.
I mean, you haven't quite made a decision next year about Summerfest.
No.
It sounds like the line dancing is going to be back.
Yeah, I think that will be.
It's certainly neat. I think I'll be coming across for that.
You only want to come if we have the American team back.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They made the line dance.
Oh, they
it
did.
Gives it a sense of authenticity.
Oh, they really did.
You've got someone with a Norfolk accent saying, and now click your heel and whatever it is. It doesn't quite have the same ring of authenticity about it, does it?
No, they brought a lot. They brought a special bit of magic.
But I think what's interesting about that is they did what they can do.
Yes.
And I think one of the things in church life that we need to do more of is we look around church and we see what have we got.
Right.
So we've got a lot of professional musicians in our church, or semi-professional musicians, for various reasons. They work at local schools and things like that. And actually, we ought to be thinking, how can we use them?
Hmm.
It might not be the event we would necessarily plan if we had every resource available to us. But you've got to believe in providence, haven't you? You've got to see where the Lord has put you, the resources that the Lord has given you, the connections, in this case, a team from Mississippi.
Yes.
So it makes sense to do line dancing, right? Because that's what the Lord has given you.
That's right.
You're salsa guy. You need to pick salsa out of the air.
No.
You know, you've got someone in the church that can do that.
Yes.
So actually, there's something, some wisdom there, isn't there, in terms of church leadership, in saying, what have we got?
Right.
Who have we got in the church? Or what connections have we got that we can make something of?
And that's true. And when you think about that, you know, there's a couple who teach English as a foreign language.
Right.
And so they were saying, we can do that.
So you're not starting from scratch.
Yeah, so exactly. And so they were able to just run that in the afternoon. And, you know, we had between 6 and 12 people over the week. And, you know, again, it's just people we wouldn't have connected with, but it was the gifts in the church. Mm. That's brilliant.
So you actually, your Summerfest is actually at some level about releasing gifts in the church to serve and work, isn't it? So that's very interesting way of thinking about it.
That's great. And it also, there was upfront roles, there's behind the scenes roles, so everyone could use, and also some really niche gifts that could be used.
Yeah.
So in a special week where people are pretty united, and it actually has a very positive impact on the church family. People serving together who haven't served before, maybe people haven't been involved before, and you know, I just think
So actually it has a discipleship impact as well.
Yes.
You don't necessarily put it on to do that.
No.
But actually, when you get people working together, it actually develops relationships, it develops faith, it develops all kinds of things, doesn't it?
And it has created a buzz in the church family. So it's been under, in God's kindness, it's been massive wins.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for telling us about, so that was Summerfest 2022.
Yes.
Sounds like there's going to be a Summerfest 2023. And I've got a new strapline for the church.
Good.
So, you know, if Norwich is a fine city, I think, you know, Surrey Chapel, a fine church.
Well,
I think it's a shoo-in. So thanks, Andy, so much for telling us. It's been really exciting to hear about it. Sorry didn't make the cut for
can't
the pro
believe, guide. I can't believe it.
But I'm really glad that actually lots of people will be able to hear about it through the podcast and will be able just to get energised perhaps about what they could do where they are. Yeah. So thanks for joining us. This has been Independence, FIC Podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. Thanks, Andy Rich, for joining us. And you can subscribe through all the normal channels, and we hope you'll join us soon.